Blog Talk Radio.
2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody. How are you today?
You know, and I know, and everybody knows that something that we are constantly searching for, something that we're constantly looking for, is peace. So that's why September has been dedicated to work fully on everything that has to do with peace, with achieving peace, with finding the way to get in connection with the peace that all of us have inside of each of us. As part of the schedule for this month, we will be sharing several Blog Talk radio shows on Sundays, hoping that these conversations will help you understand the importance of choosing to experience peace in our lives. On this online live Inner Healers Blog Talk radio peace show, I will be your host. My name is Luciana Stiglitz. I'm an integrative healer, a teacher, and founder of Inner Healers here in Peru. And on this second show, we have an amazing guest. We have somebody who I was just talking with offline. And I was telling her how cozy she is as a person. You know, she's a wonderful human being, and she's doing a great job, a very beautiful job for all of us here on Earth. So please help me welcome Master Teacher Tony Petrinovic, who is a Reiki Master Teacher, a Reconnective Healing Certified Practitioner. She's also a Quantum Physics Researcher, a member of Metaphysical Doctors Association, Hartman Institute, Institute of Noetic Sciences, Companion of the Chalice Well, Licensed Investigator with the Institute of Technical Energy Medicine, Teaching Partner with the AwakeNet in Senior Soul Recognition, Facilitator and Instructor with Soul Support Systems, who has over 40 years been instructing spiritual seekers how to find, understand, and express from their core, through their heart, the voice of the soul. She will be helping us find out how to connect with our own inner peace. The show is called Peace from the Heart, and our friend Tony will be gifting us with the opportunity to share her wisdom on this topic today. Tony?
Hi, Luciana. So good to be here again. I've enjoyed being on your show twice before. This is so much fun. Thank you, thank you, thank
Hi.
You.
Hi. Hey, dear, thank you for being with us. It's a real, not only a pleasure, but it's a real honor to have you here on the show.
Thank you.
Tony, we will be telling us about today about how the coherent wavelength holds the frequency and harmonics we need to listen to in order to experience peace. What can you tell us about this, Tony? How did you actually get to work on this?
Well, one of the things that I'm aware of is that each of us comes to the earth in our incarnation with a specific mission or goal in mind, so to speak. And a lot of people I know hope that it's going to be something like, you know, being rich and being famous and having a wonderfully abundant life and kind of floating on the shores of vacation all the time. And really what we want to pay attention to is what happens in our life on a continual basis until it gets our attention enough that we realize that this is our mission. And this happens to everyone in a variety of different ways. It came about through a series of what people would consider to be betrayals. And I don't see it that way. What I see is other people showing me how to come to the space inside of myself that you would call peace, and also to do this through absolution so that you do remain in a coherent vibration within your heart. Because the idea of peace is so often put out there. It's sort of like, well, I'll be at peace when everybody else is doing what I want them to do, or I'll be at peace when none of the countries are at war, as though it's, you know, the basis is out there rather than inside of ourselves. And the only
way everybody thinks it has to do with everybody instead of oneself.
Right, exactly. So as I began to realize that this particular scenario was playing out in my life in a variety of ways, either big or little, I said, oh, aha, I get it. I'm here to understand that each person is actually holding up a mirror for me to see that I may hold peace in my heart if I do not see them separate from myself. I see them as God in form, as I am, which is basically absolution, which we talked about last month when we talked about absolute forgiveness, and that was your theme for the month. And when we come to this place where we're no longer separating ourselves or resisting other people, no matter how the other people may be appearing in our lives, then we are really experiencing coherency in our body. Coherency means the troughs and the crests of our wave are even. So if you kind of imagine a wave in front of you, like an ocean wave, and as high as it goes up, that's how low it goes down, and it stays even and it consistently does that, that's called coherency. And the heart itself is the strongest electromagnetic organ in our body. And the heart is what creates our frequency of wavelength. So that coherent wavelength creates a sense of peace inside of us. But we can't have that if our mind is saying, well, yes, but how about this person or how about that situation or this is wrong or that shouldn't be. So it's really about coming to a state of what you would call homeostasis or balance, evenness, like a pendulum swinging, coming to a stopping point inside yourself to allow the coherency to take place so that you can feel at peace inside of you. Because sometimes that's a big step, you know? Sometimes that's huge for people because they'll say, well, you know, and people have said this to me, well, that's great, but let's not talk about this subject over here. Because I just had this conversation with somebody on the phone the other day, and we weren't even talking about peace. We were talking about a friend of ours who had died. And the fellow got onto the conversation of things that make you feel good and things that make you feel bad. And I started to tell him a little bit about what we're talking about right now. And he said, well, that's fine, that's fine. But I can't do that when I see crimes being committed. So I got to talk about that. And I said, okay, so in your viewpoint, something is a crime, the person is wrong, and they need to be punished because they're bad. And he said, yes. I said, okay, so you're judging that, even though it doesn't have anything to do with you. You're just, you know, watching it on television, reading it in the newspaper. And he goes, yeah. And I said, all right, so that you can never come to a place of coherency because you're always separating yourself without even knowing why those people are doing what they're doing. Because on a soul level, we never know why two people are acting out a specific pattern. If it doesn't have to do with us, then really it's none of our business. And so we might feel like we need to have an opinion or a judgment about it because that's what the mass consciousness does. We really don't. And I think that if people will own the responsibility of being responsible for their own peace, then peace will prevail on earth. Like the song you just played, Give Peace a Chance.
Yes.
Give peace a chance with you. You have to give peace a chance in your life. So I invite the listeners to look in your life to where there isn't peace, where there is a person or a situation that you can't come to peace with because of how you feel about it. It doesn't make any difference how the other person feels. Forget the other person. Actually, they're not important. The person that's important is you. And how you feel about whatever's going on.
Yes, I was in a TV interview this week, and I was telling people about some, you know, things that like resonate with what you're saying right now. And one of the interviewers said something like, but what about compassion and magnanimity? You know, you are magnanimous when you see somebody else suffering and then you stop there and try to do something about it, you know, because it always, I mean, whatever happens to somebody else has to do with you as well. What would you say about that?
Well, it's true, and it depends upon how you are seeing it, acting upon it, and verbalizing it. And in fact, that's it's a very good point, because as you started to talk, I said, "Oh, I need to tell Luciana about this other experience I had with another person that I was talking to this week, who we were talking about this subject." And he said, "Okay, well, what about when somebody does something to hurt somebody?" And I said, "Well, let's not, you know, make this so generic. You don't need to use names or tell me when it happened, but just get a little bit more particular so I really know what you're talking about, and then we'll address it." And he said, "Okay, at work, I saw a person put into a position that they really didn't need to be in. I mean, they really were having pressure put on them by a higher-up in the company, and they didn't know what to do with it, and I did. So I offered to help them, and I helped them through it."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Okay, well, good. I'm glad you could help them." And he said, "But I was so mad that they were put in that position." And I said, "Okay, so there's the difference. So you see somebody who is being put in an untenable position, and you know how to fix it. You know what to do. So you go over there and you fix it. Yay for you. Clap, clap. Kudos. Then you go into judgment and say that person shouldn't have been put in that position. How do you know that?"
Right. Exactly. That's also like projecting, right? Because you believe that that's unfair or that that's unjust, because you're projecting something that happened in your life before, and so prejudices come, right?
Yes, exactly. And you don't, and we can go in, you know, to people talk about, well, maybe it was a contract in this life, maybe it was a past life, maybe it was a parallel life. It was just, okay, all those things are great. But there's a lot of people who don't believe in reincarnation, and there's a lot of people who don't believe in past lives or parallel lives, and there's a lot of people who don't believe in a lot of the things that you and I talk about on a day-to-day basis with ease. If you simply have your standard mass consciousness mind and you believe that this is the only life you've lived, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it doesn't make any difference. You still don't know why that thing is being acted out between those other people the way it's being acted out. You've made a judgment based upon your belief system, which is a belief system you've been handed. Most people don't have belief systems they've created for themselves. Most people have belief systems other people have given them and said, "Here, believe this. I say it's true." Mm-hmm. And you use that to judge the other person or people.
Right.
Rather than simply doing whatever you can do, or not, depending upon the situation, and just letting it play out. It is not up to us. We're not responsible for making judgment about what a person is doing. And this is where we step out of being able to stay in peace. You know, I love to watch thriller movies and shoot 'em up bang bang movies. And people say, "Well, how can you be so spiritual and watch all those horrible things happening?" I said, "They're not horrible to me. I'm watching a movie. It doesn't do anything to my body. I'm just watching it because I love watching how people think. I like watching how people play things out. I love watching good story writing. I love good writing. And it isn't something that I take into my body and make part of me." Well, it's the same thing for our lives. We don't have to get involved emotionally with the movie, the script that we're living out. What we can do is decide how we want to live it, how we want to feel it, how we truly want to feel it. And we're only responsible.
Yes, because it also has to do with being able to not get inside the movie, right? Because the more we are able to just observe, we are also able to let the other person experience what the other person has to learn about, right? Because sometimes when we try to help somebody, we end up taking the opportunity of growth from that person, right?
Yes, exactly. And we don't know what the other person needs to learn, or, you know, so-and-so is trying to learn patience, and here we run in and try and make everything happen faster for them because we think that's what they need, you know, just using that as an example. We don't know. So we can invite ourselves to do what is obviously needed in the moment and not judge it one way or the other. Ask the person if they want help. If they say yes, great, help them. But not, using the example that I had given earlier, not get caught up in the idea that the position that they're in is wrong or they shouldn't be there or the other person shouldn't have done whatever they did, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of people would agree with what we're saying right now, and then again they'd say, except, and then they'd bring up something in their own life that they
mm-hmm.
feel is, as my mother would say, bigger than a bread box.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hard to think of, for instance, let's say that somebody said, well, that's great, but I can't absolve and completely forgive my mother and be at peace with my mother because she was a very abusive mother and she drank all the time and she beat us kids. And so I there's no way I can come to peace with that. I just can't come to terms with that, no matter how hard I try. What I like to say is, okay, I hear you, and I'm sure that didn't feel good, and I'm sure thinking about it doesn't feel good either. Think about her. Think about her as a person. Think about her as a child, how the mother grew up, what happened in the mother's life to create that kind of a woman who would actually hurt and abuse her children.
Mm-hmm.
And have compassion for what she experienced rather than thinking it's all about you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just in the way of the friendly fire. This person who is calling herself your mother has been through obviously holy hell or would not be exhibiting these characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that I condone what the mother does, but it does mean that we can say, okay, let's absolutely forgive Mom and bring Mom into the peace in our heart. Maybe we can do this physically. Maybe we can actually go and tell Mom we forgive her. Or maybe we can't. Bad, or maybe she won't talk to us or whatever. But it's about us then doing it for us to come to peace in our heart so that we're living in peace. And when we think about Mom, all we think about is Mom with love and compassion rather than blame and judgment about what kind of life we've lived because of her.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it also has to do with maybe being able to separate things, you know. For your mother will be your mother always, but your mother is also a woman. Your mother has also been a child, as you're saying. Your mother has a whole life as an individual entity separated from her being your mom. So sometimes it also has to do with our ability to separate things, you know. Yes, she's your mom, but yes, she also has a life, and yes, she also this individual who has had to live through so many things, which are making her do the best she can right now, which is the way she's handling her motherhood with you, right?
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a decision on our own part. It's a choice about how we're going to frame it, what frame of reference we want to use. My mother was raised as a Catholic in the old Catholic Church. She raised me in the old Catholic Church. I decided that I didn't want to be a Catholic anymore when I was in my late teens. And what I was experiencing in my life, multidimensionally, didn't have any place in the Catholic Church. There was no slot to put it in the church, you know. There's nobody having visions and that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, I know you do. So that separated me and my mother. And she was afraid I was going to die and go to hell and et cetera, et cetera. When she died, I was asked to give the eulogy for her at her funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And people who know me were saying, what are you going to say? I mean, you're going to do this in a Catholic church. And I said, I'm going to say the truth. And what I said was, here was a woman who was left with two children, because my father was killed when I was five, who was so afraid of life. And all of you who know her know how much fear she held in life. And she relied on this church to hold her. Her faith held her always. And I'm sure her faith is holding her now that she's died and she is in a much better place. And that was proof because her faith, her belief in her Catholic faith was so strong that she couldn't be around me because I was the bad guy. Now, I don't have to blame her for that. She held on to that Catholic faith so tightly because it's all she has.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I supposed to be upset because she didn't want me around? It doesn't have anything to do with me. It's her life and what she had to experience, and all I can do is love her. And you can take anything in life, absolutely anything in life, and decide how you're going to literally frame it. That's what a lot of psychologists say. Well, let's reframe this for you. You know, you can reframe it for yourself. How do you want to see the experience? Because that's what gives you the peace you're talking about, Luciana. That's what gives you the ability to be at peace with yourself, because you're no longer at war with your feelings and with other people. Then you can realize that.
So how would you describe the first steps to be able to separate yourself from what's happening around you and start reframing what's happening in the now?
Well, I've got a page on my website that is an absolution ritual that I created that we did last month that allows you to take that person into a golden circle of light and begin to absolve them, to completely forgive them, absolutely forgive them from any sense of wrongdoing. And that is, for me, with everyone that I teach, that is the first step. The second step is I like to work with the idea of sitting down, and I have a lot of exercises that I give to my students to use. I teach metaphysics, and metaphysics is basically the underlying cause of everything that exists. So let's look at the underlying cause of your beliefs. What do you believe about this mother or person or whoever it is? What do you believe about this person? What do you believe about yourself in relation to this person? And looking at the pieces to see where the belief came from, because one of the things that I think is really fun, and I do it all the time with everything because I just love doing this, is to take anything that you think is true and trace it back to where it came from. I don't care what it is, whether it's why you cut your food the way you cut it, or where the clothes you wear, or believe the religion you believe in, or whatever it is, the way you wear your hair. Why do you do that, and what influenced you to believe that it's true that you should be doing it that way? And there was this great, great story that I read, gosh, years ago, that was so super about this, and it said there was a man and a woman who were getting ready to have this big dinner. They were going to have the whole family for dinner, everybody. All the generations back were coming for dinner. And so the husband was trying to help the wife because there was a lot to do. And he said, what can I help you do? And she goes, well, you know, you can make the salad. But he goes, well, why don't I just fix the ham too? And she goes, no, you can't fix the ham. He goes, why can't I fix the ham? And she said, because you won't know how to fix the ham right. How hard is it to fix the ham? You put it in a pan, you turn it on the oven, and you cook it. She goes, no. You have to watch what I do. And she said, you have to cut off the ends, and you have to position it in the pan like this, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So he said, okay. So dinner time came, and he's there with his wife. His wife's mother is there, and her mother is there. They go back to generations to grandma. So he decides he's going to get to the bottom of this, and he looks at his wife's mother, and he says, did you teach my wife that you have to cut the ends off of the ham before you bake it? And she said, yes, I did. And he said, why? And she looks at her mother, and she goes, well, Mom, why did you teach me that? She said, I never taught you to cut the ends off of the ham. And she goes, did you always cut the ends off of the ham? And she said, I cut the ends off of the ham because I didn't have a pan big enough to put the whole ham in. You don't have to cut the ends off of the ham. I thought, this is perfect. And that's what people do. And then they take it to the bank and they say, this is what's going on. It's always been this way. Don't you know that? And yet the only thing that was wrong was that the woman didn't have a big enough pan. And so when we look at all of our beliefs about our life, and I have a whole series of videos on YouTube called The Territorial Imperative, and it's tracing civilization backwards to why do we believe what we believe religiously, by culture, by country, by government, and it all has to do with land. Land means power, means money. Whoever has the territory, has the power, has the money, and when they say, goes. So if you're in this land, this is the way you believe, this is the way you eat, this is the way you marry, this is the way you go to school, because we own this land. And it goes all the way back to the caveman days. And it's called the territorial imperative. Who owns the land? And when you really take the time to look at where things come from, you realize that the beliefs that you hold, that you think are such great convictions, and that literally do keep you from being at peace because they make the other person wrong, really have no basis in anything, short of somebody's idea of how powerful they can become. And stepping aside from that and saying, oh, great, well, I guess I don't have to be this way then. How do I really want to be? How do I really want to feel? What would really make me feel yummy and good and just delicious? And creating your own belief system around that.
Around what makes you happy.
Yes. And that brings you peace, and it literally sets you free.
So besides the videos that you've placed in YouTube, you've also written a book, which is called You, A Field Finding an End to Seeking, which is a book that we are publishing here on Blog Talk Radio this evening, which actually people, all of you who are listening, you can buy it through just clicking on the book image on the radio show link, which is shown to you right now during the show. Can you tell us a little bit about how the information in this book will relate to our being able to connect or regulate our wavelengths inside?
Yes. The book is about, it's called You, A Field Guide, Finding an End to Seeking. It's really a field guide to you. You as the ego personality you are versus you as the higher self, or, you know, you as the God in form. It's your ego personality and how it works, how the ego personality works to keep you feeling separate. And the poor dear ego, I mean, the poor dear, I don't think it is anything on earth that's as bashed as the poor ego is. Everyone's trying to kill the ego, get rid of the ego, do something to the poor ego, as though that's what we really want to do. Nobody wants to hurt their ego. Our ego personality is what makes us who we are. It makes Tony Tony, it makes Luciana Luciana. Without our ego personality, we wouldn't be who we are. So having said that, what the book does is talk to you about what the ego personality does to hold its position. And it knows you better than anybody. There's nobody that knows you better than you do. No matter what anybody says or how long they've been around you, whether they raised you or taught you or, you know, counseled you or whatever, no one knows you as well as you know yourself. You know everything that you'll do to make things happen for yourself. You know every way you weasel around something. You know everything you procrastinate about. You know everything you like, everything you don't like. So the ego personality uses all of these little things it knows to constantly keep you separate, because in this dimension, this dual dimension where everything seems to be outside of us, we feel insecure and unsafe unless, territorial imperative, we've claimed and staked our personal territory for ourselves. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a piece of land. It's just us. This is who I am, and I'm different than you are, and I'm right and you're wrong. And the ego personality will constantly do this over and over and over again and find ways to constantly keep you separate until, magic moment, it begins to realize, and I like to call it falling in love with the beloved within, that it can literally fall in love with the higher self, the God form of you, and not give up anything. In fact, it will be enhanced. So it's not a matter of feeling like you're going to disappear into the flow of the all. What you're going to do is realize that you are the all, and you're expressing through this ego personality, and the ego personality gets to be really happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
This book talks about how that works and how to, as I like to say, step out of time, step out of your frame of reference of I'm me in this house and it's Sunday at this time. Step out of that and give yourself a chance to look at how you would feel if you let go of all of the resistance in your body, because the ego personality is using resistance to keep you separate. And that's what this ebook talks about and goes into it at great length and talks about other philosophers who have discussed the same thing. So I heartily encourage people to get it. It's very easy. It's an ebook. You pay your, I think it's $15 or $8 or whatever it is, and it just goes deep.
$8, yes. Mm-hmm.
$8, and sometimes I forget what I'm doing. And it just...
No, it's okay. You do so many things. You can't have everything in your head at the same time. Come on.
You just go download it, and you got it. And it will assist you in understanding that the things you're thinking, the things you're using to keep you separate come naturally to you because you're in this body. That's all. And these bodies, remember this, these bodies are basically hundreds of thousands of years old. And the form we're in right now is roughly about 30,000 years old. And it hasn't had any updates. There's been no button that says upgrade available in this physical form. And everybody who wants to go through, you know, the 2012 transformation and the ascension and all this, everybody wants to get out of their bodies. Nobody's saying, oh, let me do everything I can for my body. Everybody wants to go away from their body. So it's really saying this body is a good place to be, and I can find home within it. And that's what's so important.
That's very interesting, you know, because, most people who are interested in learning things that are not, you know, the regular stuff you find out in university or regular books, you know, regular bookshelf. Most people are really looking also for a way out sometimes, you know. That's something I wrote about, I guess it was last week. I put the note on my webpage on Facebook. Now, I was just writing about that, you know, because it seems like everybody is forgetting that we're having an earthly experience. And as such, the earthly experience, you know, are using our body for everything that we can and every way we can is supposed to be like an enlightening experience for us to be able to experience in a body and learn through it as well, in addition to, you know, all the other things that we can experience without having a body.
Yeah, and
so it's very interesting that. Yeah, go on.
I
love
you.
About it. Okay, I'll talk.
No, you can talk. So, you can talk away. I'm happy to listen to you talk. What if you couldn't taste, couldn't smell, couldn't feel, couldn't hear, couldn't do any of those things? That's what you're asking for when you're saying, I want to be out of the body.
Yeah.
The glory of the human body is that we have all these sensations. And it's about learning how to use the sensations to create a feeling of peace and joy inside of us instead of using them to create angst, worry, stress, because it's all chemical reactions. As soon as we start thinking about, oh, my gosh, I have to go to work tomorrow, what's going to happen? The adrenaline starts pumping, the cortisol starts flowing, everything starts happening within the body. Getting ready to go to work. Oh, my gosh, no, what is going to happen? Or we can think, oh, tomorrow is Monday, and I'm going to be ready for work, and, oh, I know how I want work to be tomorrow. And then we envision this beautiful flow of our day and what's going to happen depending upon what our job is and how we're going to bring the fullness and the peacefulness and love of ourselves into our job, and this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. We have a choice. And the body's going to respond according to what choice we make. The body just takes direction.
It's a tool, right, for experiencing.
It's a tool, exactly. And it's just like a hammer. The hammer is just sitting there on the table being a hammer until you pick it up and tell it to hit a nail. Well, the body's just sitting there being a body until you tell it to get excited or to be depressed or to be sick or to be whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one telling it what it's supposed to do to respond. And then it just follows directions, which is the same for the universe. You know, there's so much talk about the law of attraction. The law of attraction is no more than you telling the universe, this is what I really believe is true. And the universe, I'm using that word loosely here, it just responds. It goes, oh, okay, this is what you believe is true, and it just hands you whatever you said you believe was true.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't care. It doesn't have a judgment. Like, you really shouldn't be asking for that, you know. It doesn't say that. It just, you just get whatever you send out. And that's one of the things that I teach in great, great depth in my metaphysical classes, is not the law of attraction per se, not from that standpoint, but how that operates. How our waves, they're called standing waves, how they send out information and receive information at the same time, and how we are doing this constantly. In other words, our conversation right now is being experienced by absolutely everything in existence everywhere. Everything is being impacted by this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So take that idea and think about your thoughts, think about your words, think about your actions. Everything is being impacted everywhere by your thoughts, your words, and your actions. So if you want to experience peace, then sit and be peace.
Everybody
experience peace right now, this very moment. If everybody just sat down and said, I'm going to do nothing but be completely at peace for 5 minutes, there would be nothing but peace on this earth.
For 5 minutes,
there couldn't be anything
else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's up to
you. Yes, and as you... Right, and as you were saying when we started the show, many people think that peace is outside, that peace is, okay, not having TV shows that show bloody massacres, or movies that show violence, or having war, or having, you know, people fighting or arguing. It's like everybody's like, I mean, at least the people that I've encountered, they always think that peace has to do with others being at peace so that we can be at peace. And maybe it has to do with that ego thing that you're telling about in your book, you know, that as this is we have to live like in a dual life in which we have to separate others from us. Because that's also what mind does, you know, separate things so that we can understand them. Maybe that's why everybody's thinking that peace is outside. Maybe, I mean, and that's why I chose the song we started with, because I love what John Lennon said. There's also a movie that I posted on the Inner Healers wall, which is an interview that John Lennon and Yoko have. They gave the interview to somebody, and it's very interesting because they say this. They say that peace is really about us giving peace a chance in our life. It's not really, okay, world, give a chance for peace in the outside. You know, it's giving a chance for peace in the inside. You yourself now.
Right. Is that the same movie where they give the interviews from their bed?
No, I don't think they're on their bed. It starts when John is placing the, an LP, a big disc, or the one that my mother or my grandmother used, and it's fun because they show like all the things that they did to get to have people understand the message. You know, John starts saying, "Well, I was a rock star," and Yoko was this Oriental person, very devoted to art. And then we met each other, and I found peace through my relationship with her, because through my relationship with her, I got to see myself, and I got to find peace inside myself. So he first of all talks about the love that he has for her, having to do with this, you know, and then both of them decided that they want to use everything that they are to create peace, but to actually tell the people that peace is inside. So they start this big campaign with, you know, all the fame that John has and all the artistry that Yoko has. So they put this together, and they start this big peace campaign in which they start doing, you know, signs and posters and songs like this one, you know, and the one they make for Christmas. And it's a very interesting video because it's like their message has to do with this, with actually giving peace a chance that you doing it, you know, not hoping somebody else to do it, but you doing it. Because when you do it, then all the people around start doing the same, you know? It's
right.
Like a ripple effect.
Right. And that must come after that. I saw one not too long ago where I can't remember if it was their honeymoon. I think it was their honeymoon, but I wouldn't bet on that. It just seems like it was. And they were in bed in some hotel in Canada, I think. And they just stayed in bed. And, of course, the press is outside waiting for them to come out because they want to take pictures and they want to do it. And they never come out. And finally they invite the press into their bedroom. And they're just sitting in this bed, which is not, you know, you could get your conjure up this big fancy hotel. It's not. It's just like this room with a bed in it. And they're in this bed, and they said, we're just sitting here envisioning peace. That's all we're doing. We're just sitting here being peace. We've been here for days. All we've been doing is envisioning peace. And they start talking about this project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very cool. It was wonderful.
That's interesting. I will look for that one to post it as well.
And I don't remember. I'll have to remember the name of it. I can't remember. We saw it on television. And I can't remember. I think it was some story about John Lennon. Like, I'll find out what it was. It was good.
But I guess their message is very interesting, you know, because I just felt so in tune with what they're saying, because that's the idea that we have as well, to help people understand that the only way to achieve peace in whatever they see around is starting with oneself. Because as you were saying, if all of us chose to sit one day at the same time, you know, and just concentrate on feeling, on experiencing peace in whatever place we are, at whatever's happening in our life, and just concentrate on ourselves, to stop thinking about anything that's not peace, then actually the world would really have a 5 full peace minutes, you know?
I know. It's true. It would be. It's amazing. And the only way people are going to prove this to themselves is if they start doing it in their own life.
Mm-hmm.
To bring peace into aspects of your life that are not peaceful right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see that it really works. I mean, just think about, and all of the listeners can think about, just envisioning something in your life that is definitely not peaceful for you, and sitting down and thinking about that person or that subject or that situation or whatever it is, and start thinking of it in the way you would like it to unfold. Not with anger, not with you're right, they're wrong, nothing. Just the two of you, you and the other person, or you and the people in the situation, all of you getting along, all of you really loving each other, caring about each other, and how good that feels. And just keep holding that thought and holding that thought and holding that thought until you can feel it throughout your entire body.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're sending that message out into the universe. You're sending that message out to those people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go into whatever situation it is, you can walk into that situation with that thought in your mind and feel how different it feels. Because whatever you're thinking about a certain situation is going ahead of you as you walk into it. You're bringing the energy with you. You're the one that's making it happen in co-creation with the other people. So if your co-creative part is one of peace and resolution and compassion and love, that's what you're putting on the table for the situation.
And getting back to what we started talking about, can you tell us something about how this happens in a frequency language, you know? Maybe talk a little bit about the harmonics and the things that, like, you know, feeling peace means?
You mean like the coherent wavelength? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. And how come the frequency of peace contains these harmonics that make us feel better? How come peace makes us feel better?
because peace is filled with love, okay? And I'm not talking about love like, you know, Hallmark greeting cards and the romantic
moment. That's with my friends as well. They tell me, you keep on talking about love, and it's like, yeah, but it's not a Hallmark love, you know? It's real universal, complete, total love. It's something that generates things that happen, you know, feelings, thoughts, forms. Everything is like love in the. It's like the center of everything that lives. It's like life, you know? Actually, life is nothing but love.
It is life. And when we talk about unconditional love, which again, you know, it's like the word ego, it's been beat to death. When we talk about unconditional love, what we're meaning is that you wish the best for the other person without any conditions whatsoever. It doesn't have anything to do with you or what you're going to get or how things are going to happen for you. You simply wish the very best for them, period. When we experience that depth of love, and when it's measured on an EEG, which is what measures our heart rhythm, the number that comes up, the ratio that comes up, is 1.618. And 1.618, this is all science now, 1.618 is the same ratio that is the golden ratio phi, which is actually one-third to two-thirds. So, and this gets very scientific, and without being able to draw it out on a board, it's hard to imagine unless you already know what I'm talking about. Everything that is created in manifestation in this realm is created naturally with one-third, two-third. Seashells, pine cones, our cells, our DNA, the leaves I'm looking out of the window at, anything that has natural formation to it, not necessarily something that a human has built, like a building. But, okay, the Vitruvian man, the Leonardo da Vinci did, that famous symbol of the man with his arms outstretched, it's one-third to two-thirds in everything. So that particular ratio is the natural ratio of life. When you are in a state of unconditional love, if your heart rhythm is measured by an EEG, which is the machine they use to measure the heart, that is the ratio that will come up on the screen. You are now at a ratio of 1 to 1.618 beats. That's what creates the feeling of peace and bliss in your body, because it's creating thriving in your cells. It's creating coherency, going back to the even troughs and crests of the wave, at its optimal level so that your entire physical body feels like it is thriving in that moment, which sends all the chemistry, sending endorphins, DHEA, the growth hormone, all of the chemicals that go into your brain that make you feel wonderful, then happen. That's why people want peace, and that's why people want love and a sense of harmony and well-being, because that's what happens in your body. And that,
so that's
right. The reason, that's the reason to do it.
So that's how we get our chemical balance. As well.
Exactly. That's how we get the chemical balance in our body, because everything that we say is an emotion, everything people say, well, yeah, I'm really happy, I'm really sad, I'm scared, I'm angry, and this and that, it's really only chemistry. It's the various molecules in our body affecting our brain in a certain way and, quote, unquote, making us feel this way, and we are the only one in control of the chemistry of our body. We can decide how we're going to shift and change whatever it is we want to shift and change.
Mm-hmm. And what about, if, you know, I have this therapy room. I was thinking about what you were talking. What about these people that have chosen to have psychiatric consultations, you know, that are taking medicine and to try to balance themselves?
Through medication? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, is there, how these people, you know, experience peace in their lives if they are already intaking chemical replacement, you know, like psychiatric patients, for example?
Well, I'm the first one to say, you know, if you're under the care of a physician, definitely talk to your physician about your desire to be able to work with your medical processes in such a way that you won't be so dependent upon those drugs. The drugs themselves, I know, again, drugs get a bad rap. The medications themselves have done wonders for all of us with the unusual stresses we're under and the various things that have happened in our minds. And at the same time, there's a lot of doctors and there's a lot of complementary therapies that are out there that assist with the process so that you don't become so dependent upon the medications over a long period of time. If someone's already taking something, they definitely need to really listen to their doctor's advice and discuss with the doctor or doctors, whoever it is, what they're wanting to do with their bodies and their life. I mean, that's really a big decision, definitely not something that I can just give a blanket answer to on the radio. I'm always 100%, you know, talk to your counselor, talk to your psychiatrist, talk to your doctor. Go to those people that you've trusted for so long and talk to them about how you're feeling in the moment, about whatever's going on. I really think it's important that we really blend with the medical profession and not pull away from it.
Yes, I was thinking about, you know, patients that have psychiatric medication and also people who are into drugs, you know?
Oh, like into recreational drugs?
Yeah, also, yes.
Well, yeah, they're taking recreational drugs because they want to feel the peace. That's why they're doing it. They think it's going to be a quick fix so that they can, you know, just be, all of a sudden be flying high, but it doesn't last. That's the thing. And it also destroys your body. I mean, they're very destructive. I'm a child of the 60s, and the amount of destruction that was done during that era was amazing. I lived in San Francisco and was in part of a holy order at the end of the 60s into the 70s when we literally took the people, the usually kids, they was like, you know, teenagers off the streets, and we had halfway houses for them to help them come off of these drugs because it was so destructive. And their parents didn't know what to do. You know, they would just say, you know, do something for them. And there's a lot of destruction that is caused there. And at the same time, understanding that the reason they're doing it is because they want to feel what we can naturally feel through coherency, peace, and unconditional love. And that lasts. I mean, that's something you can call up at any moment. You don't have to rely on hoping that somebody's going to give you your next dose of whatever. And rather than destroying your body, coherent vibrations keep you looking younger. They make you healthy. You thrive. You don't have, you know, old age is pushed way off. I mean, we could live hundreds of years. Rather than
enjoy, actually, not in pain, but enjoy, right?
Yeah, enjoy. Yeah, exactly. And without destroying our bodies.
Yeah, because many of the people that I know that are in drugs, they usually keep telling me, why is it that I want to live so many years, you know? It's okay, I can end up at 40, 50, whatever it is. But that's, of course, because as they have been able to find peace, you know, everlasting peace, then it's like they just don't see looking forward like a life worth living, you know?
Yes, because it's fun to be alive. It's fun. It's fun to have these bodies. It's fun to be part of all of this. And when you allow that to happen for yourself and you really reframe how you view life, then all of the reasons that people use drugs, all of those reasons go away. And they're free. I mean, everyone wants freedom. Everybody wants to feel free, you know, free from all their burdens, free from constraints. And that's the answer. And that's why it brings peace, because it gives you a sense of freedom always with everyone in every situation.
And real freedom, right? Not just freedom, like a little bit of freedom.
I just got an email from one of my students today, and she's been working on whatever resistance she has to various things that have happened in her life. And over the weekend, a lot of them came up, and she used all of her tools. She used everything that she's learned in all of these classes over all of these months, and she said, I'm free. I'm free. I was free. Nothing happened. I just I did what I need to do, and freedom reigns. She goes, don't pass the salt. Pass me a mantra. it was great.
Okay, Tony. Yeah, well, we're only 10 seconds from finishing the show, so I wanted to say thanks to you again. It's really lovely to talk to you, and it's really, really a wonderful thing to be able to have you here on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, we'll talk again.
Yes, have a great evening. A big hug your way.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.